UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
Was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merge 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is such. Bob, I swear to God, four calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty. Four calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show, and a very happy Christmas to you all. I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. We start off tonight in the state of Virginia to hear from Danielle about some of the paranormal things she has experienced, including that of a ghostly apparition of a Civil War era soldier on her property. And then we go a little south to Georgia to meet Joelle. She too has had plenty of paranormal experiences throughout her life and witnessed a UFO while night fishing on their boat with seven other passengers in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, which she found scary and awe-striking at the same time. She has also recently woke up with strange markings on her shoulder that could have possibly been alien in nature. Danielle is up next. But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Danielle, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm really glad to be here.
It's great to have you with us today, and you're calling from Virginia in the U.S.
That's correct.
Ooh, and it's cold, right?
It is definitely cold here today. My creek is actually frozen, which is going to be a good thing later because we have mink, and they'll come out and play on that ice later, so it'll be good.
Good stuff. Okay. Now, you have a few strange encounters to share with us. Would you like to start at the beginning there, please, ma'am?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to start from my first UFO sighting because that really kind of broke the mold for my reality. When I was about 18, I was riding with a friend in Kentucky. This was considered an area called Lost Creek, Kentucky. It was daylight. You know, my car had just hit the pavement off the dirt road. And all around us, everything became dark, and we just kind of looked up, and above us was a very large craft. I kind of broke down, so I don't have as many details as my passenger, but he did fill me in. He, you know, of course, he said he saw levels up in the triangle. He said that it had light all around. And when he drew it for me, it even kind of looked like the TR-3B. But when I asked him, he says that, you know, it gave him a feeling in his chest, like, you know, bass in a car or something like that. And he said he had never heard of, you know, the TR-3B. So really unsure. But the most amazing details about it were, you know, it was completely silent. It seemed like it was there, but it wasn't. You know, the trees and stuff should have been moving, but they weren't. It was just like it was had just inserted itself there, and it was just so weird. And we stopped and watched it go out over the mountains. And, you know, a couple years later, when I say couple, which is exactly 18 years, but we did find other witnesses who saw it. One lady described it as, she said it was the size of a football field. She couldn't believe how big that it was. And then another lady was at the bank the next day talking about it, talking about how it was a triangle. So the general consensus with all my research is that it was a triangle. That's not the only craft, though, that we've seen here in where we live in Virginia. You know, we're about 105 miles out of D.C. When I started dealing with these things and talking about them in 2020, it's like they showed up. We have seen everything from a small tic-tac going past the backyard. We have seen with the whole family, me and all three of my kids and my husband, in 2021, we actually saw a cluster of silver discs over top of the mountain. And there was one of them in the middle of it that kind of even acted like it was aware that we were watching it, because it started to double back. And then they just kind of, you know, went on. That one probably was one of the more exciting ones for my kids. I really didn't want to bring them into the topic so early, but I didn't really have a choice at that time. One of my favorites that I want to say is I saw what I call, has to be a space tour vehicle, I would imagine, because this thing was, it was clear, but it was almost a flat capsule. And it kind of had a rainbow aura on the outside of it. But when I looked at it, I would just imagine that there were people inside of it just, you know, taking in all the scenery. That one, I saw that one by myself. But you know, most of the other ones, my kids or my husband's been present. And they really are all anti-phenomenon. So they're not happy to talk about it. They think, you know, that there's still a stigma attached to it. So they'll talk about it, but, you know, they're not real happy. And the last, I'm going to say, UFO or object that we saw that really threw everyone, the husband's real skeptical. So each time we would see one, you know, he would say, well, I still don't know what I saw. I don't know what I saw. So we're going on Interstate 81 going south towards Harrisonburg, Virginia one day. And right before the pilot exit, pilot's a truck stop, there is a silver sphere. And this is before it blew up on UFO Twitter. This was February of 2022. So we're riding, and I joked to my husband, I was like, you know what? I would like to go to the Hudson Valley and try the abduction experiment. And in no time, my husband's like, what's that? And there was a small silver object going with us, and, you know, no visible means of propulsion. But again, this one was like the first one. It looked like it was there, but it wasn't. It was like it was almost attached to our magnetic field, the way it moved or something. It was just really strange. You know, we're going 80 miles per hour. How are you hanging with us? And when we got to our exit, we all saw it. Now, to my husband, he says that it disappeared, and that is very well possible. I know that they can do that, but my daughter and I, we saw it take off really fast, and it stopped in the distance, so it took off at a speed that is beyond anything that is in our, I know, in our arsenal of technology, and then it stopped on a dime. We saw the sun hit it in the distance, otherwise, you know, we wouldn't have really seen it, so as far as UFOs, they really are plentiful in the area that we're currently in. So I'm not a whole believer that, you know, they're not aware of what's in our skies. Other things I've seen, I haven't seen a whole lot of, you know, like visible apparitions and stuff, but I have had three. In 2021, I started studying the paranormal, and almost as soon as I started studying, one day I was taking my daughter to the school bus. It was kind of dark, and we live on a property where we have heard soldiers died the night before the Battle of Newmarket, which was part of the Civil War. So I'm going down this lane, and I'm just kind of looking at the steering wheel, and I look up, and directly in front of me is a shadowy looking apparition, but I can see that he has a Union soldier uniform on, and he just directly walks across. I believe that was what I would definitely call a ghostly apparition. But in 2022, you know, I'm washing dishes at my house, and I look up, and in my backyard is the full figure of a woman. She has white hair, pink shirt, and white capri pants on, and she is completely full. I can tell that she's barefooted, and she's just walking. I look down, and then I look right back up, and she's completely gone. I know there was nowhere she could have went because, you know, we're attached to the George Washington National Forest. She would have had to hop a fence, hop a creek, and then go through a really rough field that had not been bush hogged yet to get to the road. So my belief is that a lady that I saw had just possibly passed, because I've never seen anything so full and bright. And then most recently, actually just last week, I had a new type of sighting, never had before. I work from home, so I'm always, you know, on a camera with people, and I'm with a coworker, and we're talking about a new sales strategy that we have, and he's got his camera blurred out for Google Meet, but I can see something move in the background, and it looks like a white looking torso or a white mass, but I can tell in its movement when it goes behind him that it is definitely the top half of a person. So, you know, I kind of asked him, I was like, is there someone in your house? And he said, no, I'm by myself. And then he keeps talking, and then I see it come back through again. It went by him, and I saw it again. He said, well, it makes sense. He said that he lived in an ungentrified part of Detroit, and that it probably was definitely haunted. So with all of our research and things, you know, we go to a haunted location. We've been to Trans-Allegheny, West Virginia Penitentiary, and then the Farnsworth House Inn. I have not actually seen things there. I've captured great audio. I did capture a great photo of a black mass. We were at the Farnsworth House Inn, my husband standing in the room, and I take a photo of him, and off to the top right of him is an unknown black mass, and you can see through this mass to the wall there because you can see the trim. And then when I look at all the other photos, you know, nothing's wrong with the wall there. So I don't know if that was a remnant maybe of smoke, or if it was some other type of, you know, ghostly apparition. So the things I've seen and captured so far really do interest me. It is quite a strange universe.
Good stuff. Interesting. So you only really got interested in this stuff back in 21.
That's right. Yeah, it was really on accident, kinda. You know, my daughter was out with a friend, and they were outside, and she saw something that she couldn't explain in the sky. And she came home and she told it to me. And the moment she told it to me, it was just like I came alive. I was like, oh, I did too. And then it just started spilling out, and I became interested. I found UFO Twitter by accident one day. There was an unfortunate event here in a nearby college, and I needed to know what was going on. So I joined Twitter, and then I saw the UFO Twitter tag, and it really just opened up so many doors for me to process the experience and then to learn about other possible phenomena. So I'm really glad that I found it, but yes, it was completely by accident.
There is a wonderful UFO and paranormal community on Twitter. Well, X, they call it now. It's called X.
Right.
Yeah, there's so many wonderful people, interesting people, you know, you can meet on there. So it is good. And of course, that's how we met. So perfect.
Absolutely.
The paranormal side of it. Doing a group or?
Yeah, I do it actually. My husband and I guess you could call us amateur paranormal researchers. We like to go to abandoned locations and learn the history. We do try to collect audio and stuff. We take offerings and stuff to the places that we go to just out of respect. But I kind of think that in taking these offerings sometimes, it increases our activity because it's basic alchemy. We really are amateurs, but we've kind of been really lucky. Our first one was we went to Trans-Allegheny, and, you know, I felt a lot of things. It really was interesting because we were able to get, you know, entities knocking real time. But we walked away with audio that blew our minds, because in the audio, you know, there's constant bangings on the wall and chains and stuff. And then we even captured an otherworldly growl, you know, that of course knocked me off of my current paradigm into, you know, having to accept that there are not just human spirits out there, that there are other types of entities. So it really, it's been a whirlwind, but I look forward to possibly going to more locations and figuring out more.
And you're recording all this. Are you on YouTube or anything like that?
Well, I do upload the footage to YouTube, but I'm not very experienced with editing and stuff. So I just kind of take the videos and I throw those on the Moyers Haunted YouTube channel. We also have a TikTok called The Moyers Haunted, where, you know, I kind of add stuff there and then give people opportunities to tell me their stories. I don't normally share those, not yet anyway, because I'm, like I said, not very experienced, but maybe someday in the future I will.
Okay. Well, you got to remember, you know, everyone starts from somewhere.
Absolutely.
I kind of started in the paranormal back in the very early 90s. So I would just go around, I'll just walk into a business, you know, like an old public house and say, oh, can I stay here tonight? I knew they were haunted anyway. And that's what I would do. So I was like a young teenager doing this. Usually on my own, I'll do it. Scary stuff.
It is.
Can be quite scary. It's better when you're with someone else.
For sure. Yeah, I wish I would have been able to get started early, because it really has given me my identity. I walked around for many years just really not fitting in anywhere. You know, in high school, I wasn't the really, you know, bubbly, popular cheerleader, you know, type of person. I've always had this, I guess, people would like to call it an old soul personality, but I don't really consider it that. I just knew that there was something different, I think, in the world. I just couldn't prove it. I did have, when I was 5 years old, an experience that I would consider was telepathic. Scared me really, really bad at the time. You know, I'm 5 and you don't connect to beings, is what I had been taught. So that experience left me with most of my life, you know, just kind of being suspicious there was something there, but never really being able to prove it. So when the whole experiences started happening and then living here at this haunted location, it really is something. Being here at this house where the Battle of Newmarket the night before, where that part had taken part, we hear cannons sometimes, but, you know, you hear them down a hallway. We do have some, I'm going to say, poltergeist activity. If you see my videos on X, you'll see that there's this constant electrical disturbance I get. But if you watch it, it's always the same pattern. And I've recorded an EVP of a voice while it's going on. I've recorded them knocking on my wall 3 times really loud and hard. And then recently I got out my spirit box during it just to see, you know, hey, is there anyone there? And got a lot of really interesting responses. Don't fully believe that, you know, these are, I don't know how to say it. I do believe that there's spirits here, but I like to think, or I almost think, that there may possibly be someone somewhere else using the same type of technology even, because some of the answers that I get, it kind of seems like they're also a paranormal researcher doing the same thing. So that's something that I'm going to keep trying to get proof of here at my house, because it really feels something's not quite as we would expect it to be. If that makes sense. I hope that's not confusing. I didn't get that out right.
I think we got the gist. You're opening a can of worms there. That could be talking about parallel dimensions.
Yeah, I got a scientist response the other night, and it really threw me for a loop. I said, you know, is there anyone here? And he just says, a scientist. And I was like, wait a minute. Haven't I seen this on a movie? So it did open up a can of worms in my brain. I'm just like, why would a scientist answer me? So it really confused me. So I'm going to keep digging into that. We don't normally investigate our house very much, but with all the activity that's going on, I feel like we need to go ahead and do it and then wrap it up.
And of course, you know, that when it comes to the history of a property, you know, it's always good to dig up as far back as you can, because sometimes that can give you some answers to maybe the occupants that you might have there. And also, it's always good to learn, you know, good to learn about your property and, you know, how far it goes back and kind of stuff. People watch your channel and they hear you, you know, you're in depth when it comes to the history side of it. You know, people do find that interesting too.
Absolutely.
Well, it sounds like you found a calling now.
I think I have. I really like it too.
It's a quest to find answers. And a good thing about the paranormal is, especially if you live in the same in this property, you know, as I have in the past, it's all around you, and it's something which is there, and you know, you can hear and sometimes see.
Yes, at times I talk a lot about. I feel like it's simulated at times. Last week we captured a really strange experience. I was getting ready to post a TikTok about knocking on my wall that I had captured. And then the knocking started in the room that I was in. And it was the same knocking that had been on the wall in the other video. Later that day, my husband and I go to the hospital and we hear the same knocking again. And when I start to think, you know, hey, it's something, you know, it's the air or it's a mouse in the wall or something like that, it stops. And then it does three knocks like it's saying, nuh-uh. So when you say the paranormal is around you all the time, it absolutely is. But I see some of my experiences almost seem like they're simulated. So I am a huge believer that this is all just one big simulation, honestly.
Never say never.
Right? It's out there. It's hard to believe, but sometimes I'm convinced by it.
Yeah, it's a quest for answers. There is so much, you know, we don't understand about the phenomenon. But yeah, if you can, you know, if you can dig up history and try and get evidence, whether it's EVP, video, you know, it's always adds up.
Right.
And yeah, obviously send us your links, and you never know, people may be in the Newmarket area of Virginia. They may even reach out to you and say, do you want to come and investigate our house?
I would love that. I'm really looking forward to getting to do some other locations. I do have a few in mind. We're getting ready to start on. So I hope to be able to share that information real soon.
So if you do have a business in Newmarket, get in contact. Mm-hmm. Danielle will be happy to come and bring her gang along.
That would be awesome.
Even though you are a latecomer to the subject, it's good. And, you know, you've found your calling now. And it's something you enjoy doing, and it's something you can get your family involved in.
Absolutely. I'm really happy about it. I know it was by accident, but I do think it was completely meant for me to stumble into this. So I really hope to get to experience a lot more and to get to share my experiences with people.
And the apparitions that you've seen, the ones that you've seen, do they seem that they are actually there and they're aware of you? Or do you think they're just kind of just going about their time, so to speak?
I think the first two that I saw, I think that they were just going about their business. But this last one that last week with my friend Sean, I feel like it was aware. You know, it went by, and then when I was talking, it came back through. The one thing that I've completely left out, and it blows my mind that I forgot this, you know, my first experience here at my house, my EVP that I gathered, it was on a video. It wasn't just the EVP. It was also the disturbance. But that voice was the voice of my sister who had passed 3 years before that. And then within a year, I made a candle for her. I took it and I put it up on my ancestor altar and I lit it. And without saying any words or anything like that, you know, I'm eating my lunch. And I just felt like she was here. And I turned on this ITC app that is uncanny with me sometimes. And she gave me three letters of her name. I still was not convinced. So I had done a spirit box session here in my house. And I got her full voice for my family. So my family now has my biological sister's voice 4 years after her death. So it's kind of opened up a new can of worms to the afterlife that they weren't prepared for. My NDE, I told them about that, what I had seen, and they really weren't believing. You know, everyone has been programmed to believe that, you know, we're going to all walk in a line, I guess, down a hallway or something, but that's exactly what I saw. So I honestly believe that there are earthbound spirits that, you know, are what, like the first apparition I've seen. I do also believe that there are intelligent spirits. The lady that I saw in my backyard, I think that she was. And I know that my sister's spirit, because she answers, yeah, it's me, just perfectly. And I'm not one of those people that believe that you could take her voice and mimic it that much. I feel like it would have something, because some responses that I get, they sound like artificial intelligence. But then there's her voice that is, you know, full on. I've also got her son's voice during another session. So I do believe there's some that aren't here, but then, man, I really do believe there some are, for sure.
Interesting. It certainly does open up the way, you know, you look at the end, you know, when people do pass. Because if there wasn't something else after we pass, then all this stuff, it wouldn't happen.
Right.
There's something else. A firm believer in reincarnation. So I think, you know, when we're done with this life, done with this body, we then move on to the next.
I saw, when I was in that hallway, I saw people, but there were no bodies. All we were just these big balls of light. I was scared because I was claustrophobic. I could feel their bodies, but again, I couldn't see it. All I could see was a light. And then at the end of the hallway, there was an even brighter light. So I am also a firm believer in reincarnation. I don't believe that your beliefs influence it, because at that time, I was still very stuck in religion. I come from a very religious family who has a really narrow view. It was nothing like that that they believed. So I really believe in reincarnation 100%. Absolutely.
Good stuff, Danielle. That was interesting.
Thank you. You've made it really easy, Nick. I really appreciate it.
Well, you go keep warm now.
All right.
Danielle, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Thank you for having me. I had a great time.
You're more than welcome. It was our pleasure. Okay, take care and we will speak soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Based in southeast coastal Georgia, Coastal Preparedness Supply is dedicated to helping ordinary folk achieve advanced preparedness and maximum self-sufficiency under any circumstances at affordable prices. Their message is simple: plan ahead before disaster strikes. In these unprecedented times, it's vital to be prepared. Whether it's the looming threat of war or another pandemic, a power outage or even a job loss, you can always be ready to help not only yourself, but friends, family, neighbours, and even strangers as well. Full spectrum preparedness is essential as uncertainty mounts. Coastal Preparedness Supply is here for you. Whether you're new to prepping or well seasoned, casually interested or passionately devoted, visit coastalprepsupply.com/UFO now to take advantage of a site-wide holiday season discount and use the discount code UFO at checkout for free shipping on selected items, or hit the link below to access this offer. Again, that's coastalprepsupply.com/UFO. Coastal Preparedness Supply, your one-stop shop for all your survival and emergency preparedness needs. Hello, Joelle, and welcome to the show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's our pleasure. Thank you for joining us today, and you're calling from the state of Georgia.
Yes, I am.
Now, Joelle, you have some experiences you're going to be sharing with us. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, ma'am?
So I was born in 1983 in Hudson Valley, New York. And apparently Hudson Valley, New York is like a mecca for alien activity and UFO sightings. And I have always been fascinated with the paranormal and unexplained, unknown, unsolved. 1983, there was a UFO sighting in the Hudson Valley, New York, where I was born. Would have happened when my mom was pregnant with me. There was a large UFO where, I don't know if the number was thousands of people witnessed this, but it was, people described it as large as the football field, which I will later tell my story of that I've seen a similar size UFO later on in life. And it actually stopped people on the Taconic Parkway, which is a passenger car highway, where they physically stopped their cars, got out of their vehicles to look at this hovering craft over them that it made no sound, blocked out all the stars for how big it was. And they said there were like these flashing different color lights coming from this object. And I kind of thought how odd of a coincidence that I happened to be born during a sighting or the year, same year that a huge mass UFO sighting happened. But now as a medium, I don't believe in coincidences anymore. I believe that things are, they happen and they're meant to happen for a reason. Growing up as a child, I didn't sleep very well. I don't know. I just was not a good sleeper. My mom would say that I would be up all throughout the night. I remember lying in bed with my eyes wide open in the dark for no apparent reason, just up. I just had trouble sleeping. And if I did sleep when I was younger, I always had a vivid reoccurring dream of flying. What that has to do with me and extraterrestrial, I'm not exactly sure, but I do think that it might have to do with astral travel and my soul physically leaving my body, because what would happen in my dream is I would be lying there comfortably in my bed and finally fall asleep, and my dream would start where I'd be over my body and I could see my body. And this is me as a young girl, maybe 9 or 10. I would physically start flying in this dream out into the hallway, down the stairs, out the front door. And I didn't have to open doors, or it was just as if it would naturally go. And from there, I could go anywhere I wanted. The possibilities were endless. It would always make me really excited in the dreams. I would always feel this thrilling aspect to it. And there would be times, too, that I felt a little scared when I felt that I would go too high. I would feel like I wanted to control it a little bit better, and I would get scared and have to reel myself back in from the dream. But I thought that would give a little background to kind of small experiences that I've had growing up. But really, my UFO sightings and physically seeing things didn't start happening until my 30s. My husband and having children is when I actually had this full viewing, like seeing full set UFOs. So I'll go into the story. What I saw, it was July 2020. And that's the story that went on the Bristol Post. My family and I, we decided to go night fishing. And there were 8 people on the boat. It was me and my husband, our 2 kids who were very small at the time, my sister-in-law, my brother-in-law, and their 2 children. Their 2 children were a bit older than ours. And we set out before the sunset. So we were out when the sun was out, a nice clear night. We went out in the bay in Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and we're on our small 24-foot boat. We decided to get to an area where it started to get dark, but we wanted to still fish. So we anchored in and we turned the engine off. Music was playing. We were all just having a good time, relaxing, putting our fishing poles in and actively fishing. And my poor little nephew said he wasn't feeling too well. He was feeling a bit seasick. So him and his father went to the front of the boat, the bow of the boat, to kind of let him get some fresh air, possibly lean over and be sick if he needed to, the poor little thing. And he looked up at the horizon and he said, "What's that?" So of course we all go to look. So let me set the scene. This is, the sun had already set at this time. Nice clear sky, not a cloud in the sky. And it's the time when the sun sets, there's still this like orange glow around the horizon, but it stops at a certain point. Like the orange only extends up a little bit above the horizon, then it turns into like this darker, rich purple, blue, you know, color for the rest of the sky. Stars weren't exactly out yet, but they were starting to come out. In the bay where we were, there was not another boat in sight. Like I said, it was pretty calm. It wasn't stormy. It wasn't anything. And so in the bay, you can see the land where it curved around us. And it was about a mile away that we're looking at the land and where he pointed to look out at this object. So the land is here, then the horizon is above that orange glow, and right above that was this black disc-shaped object that was hovering over the land. And for the land being about a mile away or so, this craft had to be as big as a football field. That's how I describe it, because we all had seen it and we all had said, how big is that thing? We were asking each other questions, really seeing this? And so it was hovering above and we're all just in awe and struck by what we're seeing. We ended up turning off the music to just really hone in on what we were looking at. And we're all questioning each other. Wait, guys, is that a UFO? Like, what are we looking at? This is so confusing. As we were watching it, it started to disappear into the horizon, like further away from us. And we're like, guys, is it disappearing? And we all said yes. And we just kind of still watched that spot where it was. And it actually came back forward to the same spot that it was. We were back and forth talking about it. I didn't see any lights on this thing. We didn't hear any sound from it. It disappeared for a second time and it came back a third time. And when it came back that time, me and my niece looking at it, we happened to see it go from a disc shape and it morphed down to an inverted L and back up to a disc shape. But coincidentally, it didn't happen to look like that to everybody else. They said it just stayed in a disc shape, but two of us happened to see it more. Why? I couldn't tell you. I don't know why that is. And then it seemed to even come closer to us, not close enough where it just started getting a little bit bigger, right? Where we were watching it and thinking, okay, guys, this thing is coming in this direction. And there were two people on the boat that wanted to chase the object down, just go check it out, get further investigation. I, myself, and a few others on the boat were more terrified and scared of this object. It definitely gave me an uneasy feeling of, guys, I don't want to go check this out. It's making me totally nervous. I just don't, you know, it makes me feel uneasy. Why don't we wrap this up? Like, let's get our fishing rods in and let's get going. So we did. We decided to do that, to pack up and pull up anchor. And we're all talking about it. We're driving off. We're all talking about it. We're trying to drive the boat in the dark, watch out for lobster pots and things on the way to go back and bring our boat in. And as we're going back, again, my nephew, who's the one who originally spotted the UFO, looking up at the stars as we were driving back. And he said he saw a star on the way back that just shot straight up into the sky, like just gone and disappeared. And I honestly think that could have been the UFOs finishing whatever it was doing and exiting our orbit and completely done, completely out. I did have trouble sleeping that night. I was scared. I was a bit shook up from it, but it was also intriguing, right? It was almost like, wow, what did we see? And all those things. And we were excited to talk about it. You know, I've spoke to friends and family about it, and they've all been very receptive to it, of believing us because of how many people there were on the boat and our experience, or all our shared experience, that was all the same. And it's interesting bringing up a story about a UFO to someone that you haven't shared that with yet, because what happens is sometimes they'll share their story. And so that's honestly why I'm speaking out, is because I think it's important to talk about experiences that you've had, to give that safe space of, you know, this is actually happening, and that it's okay to talk about your experiences, because anybody who's had a similar experience as well, you know, it's good for them to share their experiences, and that way we can make it less of a stigma, right? And less of a faux pas, and have some normalcy around it. I do have other instances that have happened after that. I was just speaking with Linda Moulton Howe, And she just had me have a realization too, that my mediumship, I always disconnected what was happening with my experiences with UFO sightings and experiences and my mediumship. I kept them completely separate, thinking there was no connection whatsoever. And after speaking with her, I really had to reanalyze something, because it did put more of a connection that they're not so separate and they're very much connected. And that really was a new awareness and a new mindset for me. And she explained too, a lot of times after having these visitations, that you will have vivid dreams. And I did have a vivid dream after seeing this big disc-like object. And it's so odd and it's so funny to share. But what it was that I was sitting down with Dan Aykroyd. This is my dream. I was sitting down with Dan Aykroyd, and I believe we were going over our extraterrestrial experiences together. I have this written in my journal that I don't remember. It was a vivid dream. So vivid dreams, you tend to remember every piece and detail of the dream. And this dream tends to have the entire chunk in the middle wiped out. And I'm not sure why. And I did go back, and being a medium now, I wanted to revisit that. And it was just a conversation of his and I's experiences with extraterrestrial. And we kind of went over that. But besides that, there was not much else to the dream that I remember. And I don't know if there was something manipulated afterward of my memory being a memory wiped or something. It definitely seemed odd. My other two experiences were that this year we had moved from Cape Cod to Georgia. And now living in Georgia, I did become a medium this year. I came into my being a medium, I call it, I was hit by psychic lightning. It came on very hard and fast. It was completely unexpected. It caught me off guard. If you would tell me, you know, as a 10-year-old girl, guess what? You're going to have extraterrestrial visitations and you're going to become a medium, I would have laughed and walked away and kept on going and thought you were crazy, because no way would I have thought any of this would happen to me. But now that I am, I wonder if it's heightened anything with any visitations or what has happened, because I got my gift in March of being a medium, 2023. And as of April, I have a video recording on my page, Spiritual Connections by Joelle, on my Facebook page, that these markings I got on my shoulder that were so odd. And when I did the video recording, if you wanted to go on and see it, it's a couple of days old. And I did the video recording and you can still plainly see it. And this is the picture that they used on the Bristol Post as well, is that it was these perfectly small, four cylindrical marking dots in a diamond shape on my left shoulder. And when I first found them, I think I thought nothing of it. Not a big deal, right? Not, whatever. But after a couple of days of it really sitting there, and I was thinking to myself, wow, this mark isn't going away, it did start playing in my head of, okay, can this be from aliens? Is this something, you know, is this a marking? I was so perplexed and so confused by it. That's why I decided to post the video, to strike up a conversation to see if anybody else has had similar markings. Those markings ended up staying on my skin for about probably close to 2 weeks. Or maybe close to 10 days, which is odd, right? Like when you get a scrape or a scratch, you go away in like a couple of days, like maybe 2 days, it'll start looking a little bit softened a little bit. These really, really did stay. I didn't notice anything weird. I didn't feel anything strange about it, but not shortly after that. So that happened April of this year. And then what happened to me more recently was September of this year. I was sleeping, and I sleep on the side of the bed that is closest to the windows. And I always sleep with the windows, the blinds closed, and my curtains drawn. My room is really dark. All lights are off. I don't sleep with any night lights. I do way off in the distance in the bathroom, but it's nothing that I'm not used to, right? So I sleep with the lights off. It's dark. And I remember waking with not opening my eyes, but eyes closed, to three circling lights moving in a clockwise position. And they were so bright. And there was definitely color on the outside of these circles. And I'm not sure if that's had to play with my eyes being closed and blood in the tissue over my eyes. I'm not really sure if the color was actually on the thing or if it was being distorted through the back of my eyelids. And it was circling, and I maybe less than a minute this all happened, and my eyes are closed, and I'm thinking to myself, I don't know what this is, but I'm so, so frightened to open up my eyes, because I had the feeling and knowing that if I opened my eyes, that something or someone would be standing there. So I got brave enough to open my eyes. And like I said, maybe all of a minute, I watched the circulating lights, maybe less than that. I opened my eyes, and thank goodness, nothing was there. This happened, I would guess, because I never checked the clock, but I would guess between the hours of 12 a.m. to 3 a.m. And I had real trouble falling back asleep. I had to scooch myself to the middle of my king-size bed, and I was like, I just got so nervous and so shooken up about it. It took me a while to settle down and go back asleep. The next night, the same thing happened around the same time, 12 a.m. to 3 a.m., not sure what the time window. Again, I didn't check the clock. It woke me up. My eyes were closed, the three circling lights. And again, I was scared and really shook up. And thank goodness, again, I opened my eyes. There was nothing there. I did happen to fall back asleep and wrote it down. I keep a little dream journal and wrote it down in my dream. And by the third night, I was actually getting scared to go to bed, to the point where I didn't want to shut my eyes because I was nervous I was going to see these lights again. And so I did. I went to bed. Third night, the lights didn't happen. Thank goodness, right? I got some sleep. I was fine. You know, ever since getting my gift this year as being a medium in March, I have not had as many vivid dreams as I used to. I feel like since I live in more an awakened, full awareness state during the day, that I really shut off at night. But after the three circling lights, I did have an interesting vivid dream that I guess could have been a visitation. I'm not really sure. It's kind of hard to pinpoint. I can give you my perspective on it, but it can be twisted as maybe it could have been alien encounters. I'm not sure. So this is my vivid dream afterwards. I could tell you the textures of the table and the sounds clanking. And so that's when you're the vivid dream, you have all your senses. I was sitting in a diner that was very small, very narrow. And my husband to the left of me at the small table. And in front of me, there's an older woman that I knew. She didn't say anything to me. I just innately knew that she was a medium mentor to me. And side note, I do read auras and I can sense and see auras. So back to the dream. She had looked at me. I don't know if she verbally said it. Now I'm almost guessing if it was telepathically, but I want to say she verbally said this part, that she said, "You have the gift like I do." And I innately knew. So this was more telepathically, I guess, is of seeing aura colors, but in a brighter sense. So as she said that, I felt this like shift come from her into my heart chakra of this like transition of almost her like gifting it to me. And it was the ability to see auras that physically popped out in front of people's face. So it was almost like they had this color and glow in front of their faces before I could see their face. So I remember looking around the diner at all the faces, and everyone was looking at me, very stone cold face, looking at me with these pops of color out in front of their faces. And it actually made me a bit nervous. I felt a little uncomfortable, and I explained to my mentor medium, quote unquote, who was sitting in front of me, and I said, I'm actually getting scared. I want to be able to control this. Can you please hold my hand and help ground me to help me control this? And she reached out her hand and we grabbed hands. And right away, the glowing and the auras went away and people went back to normal. So I'm not sure what that has to do with the circling lights, if that was actually an extraterrestrial visitation after, or a description of how that worked. I didn't read it at the time of coinciding those two. But like I said, after speaking with Linda, I did rethink that because of all the work that she's done and described to me certain scenarios, that those indeed can be an insight to what happened and how you've interacted with aliens or extraterrestrial. And it really was kind of eye-opening to me. Okay, well, my mediumship and extraterrestrial are actually not so far apart. And I was really taken back by that. And I've loved the new insight that I got from that.
Good job. Wow. We, you know, we have plenty of guests on the show which have had these unusual UFO sightings and experiences. And it does certainly seem to coincide with, you know, with the paranormal and sometimes psychic gifts.
I am learning a lot still in my mediumship, and I'm learning different things that are worldly and connected. I did tap in with my spirit guide team and meditate on it, of, you know, what really is going on in the universe, like how is it all connected? And what I thought and understood was that as human beings, our souls are here on this journey of learning our own path, but really we're all connected. I've done quite a few past life regressions, and as every time I tend to do them, they tend to be otherworldly, not of an earthly human form every time, which I really was kind of awestruck by in the beginning of, you know, how could this be? Here's what I was coming to, is that our souls have reincarnated other places, other galaxies, other worlds, and we've chose to come here with our soul and reincarnate as humans because the earth is a beautiful place and it is a big learning tool for us and our souls. And so it's funny that we always are tiptoeing around the story of aliens and extraterrestrial, when indeed, if you think of our souls having been other places and other worlds, doesn't that make us alien as well? But a little out there, but that's what they have shown me. And, you know, I also, connecting with spirit, we connect with spirit. We say that we're connecting to the spirit realm or spirit world. And really, it could be described as, for some, say, heaven. And where is that? It's another plane. It's another dimension. So technically, I'm connecting with souls who are already on another level, another dimension. Is that alien? Sometimes when using the words alien and extraterrestrial, it has such a stigma of these small green or gray beings with it. And that's not what I see when it comes to our soul's journey of being otherworldly. It could be all different shapes and different forms and really, really cool stuff.
What was the light that you saw in your room? This was over two consecutive nights?
Correct.
Okay. And were they revolving around each other?
Correct. Just in, they were following a pattern clockwise together. So I wouldn't say like one was overlapping the other. It was more they were staying in their spot while perfectly moving in a clockwise motion.
And it was always the same direction? And did they always stay the same size?
Correct, yeah.
And that was the only times that you saw them? Yeah, while they haven't returned?
Yeah, it was just September of this year. I can't remember the night that it was, but it was two nights in a row.
So it's very recent?
Correct, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the vivid dream that I had, I think that was maybe 2 weeks after, the one of me in the diner.
Okay. This was very strange that these, you know, these markings that you had on your body.
And that's why the markings on my shoulder were so odd. I thought to myself, there's my sheets, my pillows, none of my clothing would have made such an odd marking. And to have it in my upper left shoulder, it just, I couldn't place it. I couldn't place what could have made that mark. I would have, to make that mark to last for 2 weeks, I would have had to, during the day, you know, laid on something for an extended amount of time. I would say more than a couple hours to make that mark to last 2 weeks long. And there was nothing that I did. I mean, I'm a mom. I go out, I do my errands, but, you know, so there's no time. Why would I still lay there and make these marks? I wouldn't have done that. There's nothing I could even think of that could make something that looks like that.
And it lasted 2 weeks, and you haven't been left with any scarring or anything like that?
No, I don't believe so. No, kind of went away.
Okay. And going back to 2020, when you had this sighting of the object, was you in the Cape Cod Bay?
Correct.
Okay.
We were probably closer to, like, Brewster, looking towards Truro area.
Truro is north. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Right. So the object you would have seen would have been over the land.
Correct. We could see land where we were. We were kind of butted up against that cove there where the land kind of surrounded us all on the east side, that east side there. And there was land that curved out a bit in front of us. And then there was water all to the west and around. But when we looked straight out, it was pretty much looking north. That was around the Wellfleet area that jutted out there. And that's where we saw it.
Got it. All right. Perfect. And did you at the time report it anywhere?
We did not report it. No. I think we were looking for anything else in the news that might have popped up. Or if anybody else had called it in, I guess, to see if, because we felt like it would be more significant for people who were on the land where it was right over hovering, and thought maybe those people call it in. We didn't see anything. We just spoke to family and friends about it and told them of our experience. And I guess we didn't feel the need or thought, you know, what's the point? What are they going to do? So we didn't talk to anybody about it besides telling stories.
Well, yeah, I mean, a good thing is because there were so many people on the boat, you know, which also saw this, There could be other people that saw it around the bay and they may think the same thing. You know, they didn't know where to report it, or they're worried that they were waiting to see if anyone else reported the object.
Yeah.
You're a psychic medium now, which is all very fresh. You said you're starting to have these abilities, and you mentioned that it was like lightning.
Mm-hmm. So I have been thinking of that a lot. It happened in March of this year, 2023. I was speaking with my cousin, who is married, and so we're not of blood relation, and her daughter, of course, I'm very close with. I don't know how you describe a cousin, a first cousin to her daughter. I don't know the relationship, I forget, of the second cousin once removed. However, I'm not sure of the connection there. But she was explaining to me that she was coming into her own mediumship. She was born with the ability, but really she was going to classes and doing things. And I was so intrigued and enthralled by what was happening to her that in the medium world, I started what's called tuning in to her and what she was doing and kind of picturing where she was and how she felt and what was around her. And I honestly think, because I think we all can be psychic, meaning it's just something that needs to be tapped into and it's an ability we all have. But since I was tuning in and concentrating so hard, I think I actually opened up that gateway, that ability in myself, because I think it took a couple of days for me to realize I actually had physiological changes in my body that I started feeling intense, vibrating and tingling in the back of my head to the point where I was slapping it, rubbing it, trying to figure out what was going on with it. Was constant. It wouldn't, not realizing what it was. And I've always been very spiritual, I do enjoy meditating when I can, but I was never doing it regularly. I was too busy running around with my kids and things like that. But I am a massage therapist. And whenever I do work, I tend to get in a very meditative kind of calm state. I remember working on a client and I was at work at a local spa nearby. And the vibrating tingling was going so extreme, it was distracting me from my work. And I remember my inner voice, I asked myself, what is going on? And an answer came in my head of saying, spirit is trying to connect with you. And like, as if you're cleaning out your ear and you're like, excuse me, I'm sorry, what? I kind of, instead of being scared of it and closing it off, I was really excited and wanted to lean into it. And so I believe that I ended up contacting my cousin who has the gift and talking to her about it. And she had said to me, I get the same thing, the vibrating on the back of it. I said, no. She was like, yes. And she said, it's happening to me right now. I said, me too. And so ever since, I think I've just really tried to quiet down, listen, to understand who's speaking to me. And every couple of days, every couple of weeks, I get a new gift. I'm getting all these kind of downloads or whatever you want to call them. Because originally I was not, back in March, I was not able to read auras, and now I can. And originally I was not able to go to the Akashic Records and read past life regression. Now I can. It's just amazing of how just one gift has led into the next, and it's been a continuous, beautiful cycle. When spirit comes and wants to speak and connect with someone, it's always about messages of love and that they're always there with you. And they just kind of want to let them know that they've never left their side, that they are always with them. And it's really, really been this beautiful journey. And I am so grateful that I have this opportunity and this gift to share with people. It really does bring me a lot of peace and joy, and as well it does for my sitters.
Wonderful. Okay. So if someone wants to reach out to you, I know you're pretty fresh to all this. If someone wants to reach out to you, where can they contact you?
Oh, of course. Thank you so much. They can contact me. I have a website, spiritualconnectionsbyjoelle.com, or I'm on Facebook, Spiritual Connections by Joelle. It has my phone number there. You can just direct message me, or you can email me spiritual.connections.by.joelle@gmail.com.
Wonderful. As always, we'll put the links in the description so you can reach out, Joelle. Wonderful. And what about other family members? Is this something which seems to run in your family?
So I over the Thanksgiving break, I was just with my family, had sat down with my mom, and I said, Mom, let's talk about any of the experiences that might have happened as me as a kid. And we did bring up of instances that my grandmother, as a young girl, she had seen a physical apparition of her grandmother that she had never met at the foot of her bed. And she came out, I believe it was in the middle of the night, or she went back to bed and she woke up the next day and told her mother, you know, this woman came to see me. And she described her wearing this polka dot dress and these pearls. And her mother was kind of awestruck and said, well, that's your grandmother who you never met. So I definitely think it was something that has been carried on. And thank goodness I grew up in a very supportive family of any instances, odd, paranormal, or things I've had growing up. Like I said, when I was younger, I did have a lot of trouble sleeping. I did feel like ominous or dark things in my room sometimes. And I remember constantly going in to wake up my parents to sleep with them, or that I was scared. And instead of brushing me off, they were always supportive of that I was having these experiences and that they wanted to help me in the best way that they could. And I grew up, thankfully, in a very supportive family. You know, we did grow up going to church and having our religious background of Catholic, and which I still go to church to this day. I love going to church. I love praying. That doesn't take away, though, there's also a spiritual side to our family. And I think that's a beautiful thing. I think marrying the two is wonderful. And if I always say, if it doesn't hurt anybody and it brings love and joy to you and to your surroundings, I think I'm supportive of it all the way, 100%.
Yeah, that is good. So, you know, some people which have these experiences and they grow up a Catholic family, it can be quite difficult, especially if the parents are like, no, that didn't happen.
Correct. Adults, you know, especially with children, they're easy and quick to dismiss it, something that might be happening to the, or they might not understand it and they're quick to shut it off. But thankfully, I was very supported in, you know, okay, honey. And just so that was very, I think that helped me in my transition of who I am today. And I'm very grateful for that upbringing.
That's great. Good stuff. Joelle, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. This has been wonderful.
It's been great talking to you. Take care, and we will speak soon.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. You enjoy the rest of your day now.
You too.
Okay, bye for now.
Bye.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Danielle and Joelle for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week for our final episode of 2023. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.